Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 700. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Guys, make sure that if I ever resign from Congress to take a job, that I actually have that job first.
I mean, that is good advice for any job.
Any position, yeah. Yeah.
Make sure you have another job before you're like, I'm going to do this job. And then people are like, we don't want you to do that job.
But you know what else you should do or not do?
There's a few things you should not do.
Yeah, that's true.
Make sure that anybody you engage with is, I'm not even going to say a legal age. I think that should be the bare minimum. They should roughly be in your age range, not old enough to be your, I mean, I think even daughter is kind of.
How old is he?
That is a good question.
That is an excellent question. I have no idea.
Because I will say white people, white Republicans seem to age really hard. Tell me he's only 42.
Wow.
That dude looks
so old. I'm 42. I look younger than that.
So many of them, I see it, I'm like, oh, crap. Like that can't be your actual age. But yeah, okay. So yeah, just to make the lesson, don't hate, don't date underage girls. Yeah.
And Earl is here giving us all the advice.
Oh, yes. I already rated my intro because, you know, I just felt like that needed to be said up front. I don't think we need the advice, but
somebody does, clearly.
Someone.
And Jeff is here as well.
Yeah, fucking scrambling.
Yes, Jeff is scrambling because I think... I gave him imprecise information on what he needed for.
You know what?
That is false. You were very clear. Bring two games.
Yeah, I don't remember. you know what? Under pressure, the answer comes out. So I think I'm good.
You know what? I was explicit with you guys. I told Jeff last night to have a Hall of Fame, but I don't know. I don't remember. I didn't write it down. I don't remember if I told him what exactly was needed. And then Jeff did that last night. He was like, hey, I need the list. Like, send me a list of everything we've inducted. And then Earl came through with that today. So I just copied the link for that and sent that over to him.
I think I'm good. I think
all right. Good. Cause we're gonna do Hall of Fame inductions. We're gonna maybe explore some video game movies and put them rank them. If Earl has a list there.
Do homework. Okay.
I mean, don't feel obligated. Like we come in about three quarters prepared every week. So,
I mean, honestly, I just
that's generous. Wow, three quarters. Yes.
It's giving us a little bit of credit.
Credit we don't deserve. All right.
But before we jump into that, also we're going to talk about the game award nominees. But before we jump into that, we'll quickly kind of touch on anything we've been playing. Jeff, you play anything this week? Actually, I know you have. You text me at 1 o'clock in the morning last night.
So. well, mostly a lot of Baldur's Gate, but we'll leave that be. We've talked about it. I did try out Slay the Spire. Has anyone else tried that?
Oh, yes. I adore that game. I think I've played it before.
I've never played card games until basically Balatro. And it's all the rage and for me right now. It's I want every card game I can get. It's fun. It's on Game Pass. I don't really have much to say about it. It's you have cards that you can attack with that kind of sound like stuff from, Baldur's Gate or Dungeons and Dragons or whatever, and try to see how far as you can get. There's an overworld map. It looks almost identical to Inscription. And you go battle to battle.
Earl talked about this like a while ago, but I clearly don't remember. So there's a map, like you're going on like little quest, you're battling. The cards though, is it similar like to Inscription or Magic?
No, they're like this thing. Yeah, like no, I guess I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's like this card does 6 damage. It's more like different attacks and spells that you would have.
Yeah, it's kind of. It's more like an turn-based RPG where like your attacks and stuff are the cards.
Like the cards don't have health the way they. I don't think the way they do. No.
Okay, so like in Inscription, it's like, you know, you have to have X amount of resources to play this card, and this card is worth, you know, four health, 4 attack.
There's no mana.
Got it.
And as I understand,
there is some mana in some fashion. Like you have X number of, like you have like 3 orbs, that, and then a card can cost 1, it can cost 2, whatever.
Okay.
But it's not like, yeah, there's ways around it.
It's not exactly like Inscription or Magic, but the map is like, dude, it looks almost exactly like the map in Inscription, and you'll be doing like a lot of the same shit. Like, oh, this stop is a place to upgrade your cards, or you know what I mean?
Right.
It's fun. Like, I don't know how far I've ever gotten. I think I've beaten at least the first 2 bosses. I don't know how many there are.
And it's run based, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you say first 2 bosses, do you mean in a run or like the there's 3 floors in a run, and then like the final boss is like that third and final?
I don't think I've reached. No. Yeah.
Okay.
It's fun. It's, you know, it's fun, and it's on Game Pass, so definitely worth checking out.
We're gonna get you in all these games. You should try Monster Train next. Monster Train is, I think, would be right up your alley if you like that game and you like Bellatro.
Is it on?
It was on Russell? Game Pass.
Okay.
I definitely played it on console.
One other question with this. So when you say you can upgrade your cards, Jeff, does it upgrade for just that run, or is it like a permanent upgrade that next time you come in?
I think it's just the run.
It's just that run. So the kind of upgrades and unlocks are twofold here. You can unlock new cards for your deck. And again, they will still be random, but you can unlock them and get them. And then you unlock, and these aren't permanent, you get them randomly, but then you can unlock relics, like different modifiers for your character. That helps with your run. It's kind of like Bellatro. I mean, yes, a lot of these are all decks are similar in that regard. I don't think there's any permanent unlocks. I think the permanent unlocks are the different characters, because each of them play slightly differently.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, it's always I'm always wondering about that with like roguelikes. Like, is there like an upgrade mechanic that makes you slightly stronger as you lose?
It's like forever.
Yeah.
I will say that like immediately I found like the graphics, like the art style, to be like kind of a turnoff. Like, just I don't know, doesn't look great to me. But it's just coming off of something like a Inscription, which had so much fucking like atmosphere to it. Like, this is just, you know, it's fun though. It definitely gets its hooks in you really quick. It's like really easy to pick up and figure out what you're doing. And
So for some reason I thought this kind of had like a grim dark kind of view to it, but it looks more cartoony.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the one? There's a card game, right? The Darkest
Dungeon. Oh, Darkest Dungeon.
Is that the card game?
I think it is a card game.
Hmm.
Or I think it at least involves cards. Like I don't. I don't know if it's more involved RPG or if it's just straight up cards, but it is like cards based.
I think I was getting the two mixed up in what they were.
Mm.
Okay, cool. Speaking of you with card games though, Jeff, did you pull the trigger and buy a Magic deck?
I do. I have like this beginner box.
Yeah, like a starter deck.
I watch some videos and like I get the concept of it. Like I understand how to read the cards, but I just do not know how to actually play the fucking game. Like, I get it. Like, a card has, it's just like Inscription. A card has an attack power and a health power. Like, or
and you have to play. Yeah. Like, you're building up like resources. So, like, and I think Tony called them mana, if I remember correctly, from playing 25 years ago. That's what they were called.
Tap your mana.
Yeah, so like you put down a tree or whatever it is, and you have to have a bound of them, and then that's what, like, you have to pay to play a card.
Yeah, conceptually, I get it. Like, I get like what the idea of the game is, but then like to actually sit down and go play it with somebody, it's like, how does a turn go? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's probably like a lot of on a basic level, I don't know how to actually play the game, and also like, I'm sure there's a lot of nuance that I would not realize up front. But, like, we'll give it a shot at some point, hopefully. But, like, I kind of worry about it falling apart in the first 5 minutes and us yelling at each other and just being like, whatever.
Like, no, it's not what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, but it does. I'll have to, like, dig into it. Like, it has booklets, but I don't want to fucking read booklets. But it has, like, this little pack of cards that comes in it. Like, it looks like it's, like, maybe, like, 6 to 8 cards, and that might be like literally telling you how to play with those cards. And it comes with like 2 decks, like cats and vampires, I think.
Yeah, they're like, because so you then, can like build a whole bunch of different decks based on, you know, the cards you collect. So
yeah, but like, so like if we went to a play, would she like take, you know, cats and I take vampires, or like that's the thing is I don't get it, like.
In the case, because you don't have more cards, yes, like that would be how I play.
It's like you someone has you have to use a deck, like
So like what, and like as you play more, like with any of these games, you would buy more cards, you would buy packs of cards, and then you'd start kind of customizing your own deck.
So like,
and, like find a way to like play you once play. Yeah, you can mix and match.
Yeah. And then like what, there's like a certain amount that constitutes a deck that you could bring into a game against somebody is like
it's probably in there. Do you know, Earl?
It's 60. And the only reason I bring this up and I was gonna ask is I don't know if something's in the water. But I did watch Kind of Funny, Greg Miller and Blessing were learning how to play Magic on stream yesterday. So I watched that this morning, and that's like
maybe I should watch that.
It's the starter deck, and literally like the starter deck as you play through like the first 6 rounds, like it tells you this is what you do, this is what your opponent's going to do. You're going to have 6 health, they're going to have 7 health.
Yeah, like I get it conceptually, like it's actually, you know, like the reason I bought this is because I'm so obsessed with Inscription, and when Chris was talking about Inscription, he's like, you know, it's like Magic, like blah blah blah. I was like, fuck that. I got to learn how to play Magic, you know?
Well, I was going to say, I'm surprised you. I mean, because there's also, and I don't know, I forget how, there's, what is it, Magic the Arena?
It's on my phone.
Okay. I was going to say that, and the Pokemon, surprised you didn't try that.
Pokemon.
Pocket card, whatever, the trading card game that just came out on mobile.
Oh, I wasn't even aware of that. I don't know. Again, I'd be happy if I had Magic. She could learn how to play Magic. And it'll be great times. Like, it seems really cool. Like, I could tell, like, once I learn it, I would probably love it. But, yeah, it's just, like, a little daunting just right from the get-go. Like, I watch, like, you know, again, I get the basic concept. Yeah, you use lands, which are, like, elements that are your resources. That's how you buy your card. It's literally Inscription. Like, Inscription basically copied it. But it's just like, yeah, how does a turn work? You know, how, you know.
Like Inscription's a little bit simplified because you only have 4 cards out at a time, and you could have more than that in Magic.
And plus, it's a video game, so it's like, automating certain things that, like,
yes,
you can't do playing a board game.
But yeah, I think if you read the guidebook, if you actually go through, I think that will be how, again, because even watching them, I started picking up like how it works and like how you summon creatures or spells and like how instantaneous or not instantaneous things are. Because like, yeah, like the whole mana thing and like the I think what confused me when they were like tap doesn't make any sense because you're just rotating it.
It's just a sign. It's a sign like you did your turn. Or
I don't think it's tap as in tap it. Yes, it's like you're
tapping a resource.
Yes, you're turning the card to the side.
Yeah. Like that's the motion, but it's actually like I'm taking some of it from my pool.
Yeah.
And then it refills, right? Like after the round, you flip them all back.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of like at the start of your turn.
Yeah.
Because I think part of it is like if you can save resources for defense if need be. If you have like a instance card or like something that has to play automatically. Yeah. Again, some of that, again, it was a really fun video. It's like 2.5 hours.
That's the thing. It's like, yeah.
It was, but I had it on the background at work, and literally, because you know they get paid for this, like they are talking through everything to make sure that they're understanding it, but also making sure that, that the audience gets it too, and the audience was giving them feedback. I thought it was interesting. I think I mean honestly, if I was to pick up one, I still think I'd prefer Yu-Gi-Oh. But
I don't know. It seems neat. Anime.
Yeah, it is, and I mean, you're not into Assassin's Creed or Final Fantasy, Jeff. But they have, I don't think the Final Fantasy one's out yet. But there's Assassin's Creed decks that are out there with like Assassin's Creed themed cards, and there's going to be a Final Fantasy deck coming at some point with Final Fantasy themed cards and. I assume you'd be able to play them against like normal cards.
I think
not like a separate rule set. So there's Lord of the Rings and Doctor Who, and like they have like tied in everything.
I think if I get at this point,
yeah, I know at one point they did Godzilla, and I was mad I missed that one.
What were you saying, Jeff?
If I got into Magic, I think I'd be good because I think there's like 20,000 cards or something like out there. Yeah, it's like
there's so
it's
many. Like,
If I get into the game and I think it's something that I could play forever and you could kind of like update forever, like but yeah, it's just getting over that initial hump will be the key. I asked my one friend who comes over and like plays games with us and shit, like, do you know how to play this? He's like, no. He's like, you figure it out and then you teach me. I was like, okay, thanks.
But like that's the thing, right? If you can figure it out and you can teach them, it's something you guys could play. It is cool. I just have not played it in probably since high school or like shortly after high school. We had a ton of fun with it. Just now finding time or people that actually want to play anymore.
That's what families are for.
Yeah, like it's very similar. Like with you though, it's like. Do they want to learn it? And then it's like, oh, you got to sit down. Oh, you don't know all the rules. Like, oh.
But, yeah, what is the patience level?
Yeah, I've lost interest.
Yeah. Come on. Give it a chance.
Plus, Chris's kids are too old for him to make them do things.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true.
I'm actually kind of curious now. I wonder what is the easiest pick-up and play version of like a card game? Because there's Yu-Gi-Oh! There's Pokemon. There's Magic. Disney just started theirs, which I'm surprised isn't the one you went with.
That is way too complicated.
The card.
What the hell is it called? I have like multiple decks for them. The Disney one is a fucking nightmare.
Interesting.
And they keep adding new rules to it.
So I assume that's probably how these things start because like you have to balance them, and like they just kind of started new. And working, but yeah, I figured it would be Disney. I could be super.
Lorcana is a
Lorcana. There we go.
And there's a new Star Wars one too. That I've been playing that with a friend. They're all very similar. Like you got to have resources. You have to have them to play your cards. But yeah, they're They're all pretty cool. I would like to know that too, though, Earl. Like, what is the easiest one to jump into?
Yeah, like, what would somebody? I'm sure somebody's gonna be like, oh, it's like the, because I think Magic does colors, so it'd be like, it's the white Magic deck, or the black one.
All right. Well, Jeff is over there enjoying all the card games. Earl, did you get a chance to play anything this week?
More Owlboy, which I'm enjoying. I don't think there's anything new to add there. And kind of newish, not really. I mean, I play Fortnite constantly, but Fortnite's just an everything game. So this week they added a Ninja Turtles roguelike.
That was not what I was expecting to hear.
No, it wasn't what I expected. Was it what I was expecting to say? It's like, yeah, it's I mean, it's a very simple role. Like, you don't even pick the turtles. I mean, you can, but you pick the, so it's based off the weapon. So, like, you know, the side, the bow staff, the katanas, the nunchucks. You go through levels fighting the foot, fighting Fortnite original creations. You gain coins. You use those coins to level up your weapons, to level up the pizza drop rate, to level up your shields, level up your health. And then you continue doing it. I've not been it yet, so I assume eventually you fight Shredder or something akin to Shredder. But it's as far as like a free game within another game, it's not a bad roguelike. It would not be my first choice, but yeah.
All right. I kind of want to see that in action. I might have to check out a video or something later.
Yeah. Yeah, it is giving me the itch to actually buy the Ninja Turtles roguelike, which does exist and is on sale, but it's only on sale for, like, I think 15% off. So it's like 24 instead of 30. I will say, so far, there's been a few Black Friday deals I'm tempted by, but not a lot. Like, the one I'm most anticipating right now is, I think, Walmart's having Spider-Man 2 for $30. I mean, I think we all have it, but they also have Tears of the Kingdom for $30. A year and a half after it came out, but
I randomly bought because, like, I think the Black Friday sale is up on Xbox or whatever right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I randomly bought Combat 7, which is, like, real cheap, like under $10, I think. At least I hope. I hope I didn't.
You were just in the mode for an airplane game.
I had heard it's really good, and at that price, the risk is, like, pretty low on it. So yeah. If I don't like it, who gives a shit?
Minimal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I haven't been impressed by any of the sales quite yet, and hoping that something hits maybe on Steam or PlayStation, because the Xbox sales, that wasn't like, oh yeah, that's really hitting me right now. Could just be the games I'm waiting for aren't going to go on sale.
Well, it's like a lot of
Space Marine 2 and shit like that. So
a lot of things I want are like, and it's like they're probably not gonna. Yeah, you know. Actually, what do I want? Like, I want that Tetris game.
I'm always surprised though by the number of games that even that ones that come out in the fall that are actually on sale.
Well, yeah, maybe we'll get some stuff. I don't know.
I was surprised.
Like, NBA 2K came out in September, and it's 55% off.
Yeah, it's
definitely that's crazy.
Sonic and Shadow Generations is, 45% off, half off?
Is it really?
On the Switch. I don't know about the other ones.
I was going to say, that's one of the ones, that was one of the ones on my list, because, like, yeah, they didn't want to pay full price for, like, kind of a remake, like, right? Like
$30? I think, what is it, the default price is 50? Or...
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe. It's supposed to be pretty good, right? Like, they did a good job of...
Yeah, the Shadow stuff I hear is good, and then it's other stuff is just a remaster of the, you know, an already good game.
Yeah, which, you know, I've played through a bunch. That's why I was like, hey, I don't know. But, maybe at that price, I don't know.
Yeah. It's always worth keeping, like, and this year... I actually kept, kind of have a list of just certain stuff I do want. Like, if Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League, it's around $20. Actually, no. Now I think it's around $10 because I think it was it's like $7 or $8 on Steam. I'm like, oh, like that's kind of, but I think it's like 15 on the Xbox or something like that. Also, very hard to search suicide on any service for some odd reason. And then there's a few movies and vinyls. Target's having a buy two get one free sale on movies and vinyls, but not on music, I should say, and books, but not video games this year, which kind of sucks.
I got my wife physical version of Balatro for 30% off. Switch.
Like $20 though, right? I don't understand the physical.
There was no way I was gonna get her to play it. Like I had to like put it in her hand. She just doesn't believe me. She doesn't believe my recommendations, unfortunately. So. But like I've been right so many. I'm like, I remember for like a year I was like, you need to play Vampire Survivors, and then like finally one day I got her to play it. She's like, what the fuck is that? That's stupid. And then like now she's probably put like fucking, you know, 100 hours into it. Like it's I've been right so many. I have an idea of people's tastes, you know what I mean? After a while you start to know people's tastes, and sometimes you just gotta trust Jeffy.
Getting Jeffy with it. No.
Oh no.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye on the Black Friday sales. I hope that some more stuff goes on sale on Xbox, Jeff, this coming week. Like, you know, they normally have like a weekly sale. Maybe they add some more stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It kind of seemed like the whole thing had already started, though.
Yeah, it did.
But like, I don't know. Maybe shit goes on sale on Amazon. They match it. I don't know. Who knows? But oh boy, I hear myself.
Yes, we could hear you double there for a second. All right, well, we'll check back in on that. I think last week I mentioned I finished Dragon Age 2, and that was an okay game. And now I've started Dragon Age Inquisition, and it was also an okay game. Yeah. I'm beginning to think that Dragon Age might just be okay.
Outside of the first one, isn't the first one like pretty well regarded?
They're all very different games, and Dragon Age Origins is like it is a good CRPG.
Yeah, but
it was a good CRPG at the time because they weren't making a lot of them at the time.
Yeah, it was like the only one for like a decade.
Yeah,
and I think we talked about this last time. What's like it's an fortunate for Baldur's Gate 3 be the one that got me into CRPGs, because it's just like, what is going to match that? I don't know. Nothing, you know.
Well, and like you're gonna have to wait probably till like, you know,
their next game,
Original Sin 3, or there are companies that are doing things, but you know, to make that leap, like people will start modeling stuff after Baldur's Gate 3, but it's going to take a little while before you start seeing some CRPGs like that.
It seems like I don't know how long they worked on Baldur's Gate 3, but that seems like a game that had to take forever to make. I like, you could literally talk to like any fucking civilian and like person on the street, and they still give you like a little cutscene where they say something, even if it's not like a meaningful interaction. It's still voiced and fucking animated. I'm just like,
I'm pretty sure it was like 5-6 years.
Yeah, it was a while.
Which means like it's going to be a long time before somebody can copy it. Like, yeah. It's going to take too much effort.
When was this? Is stupid. I think it's 4 years ago, right? COVID was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So Earl and I were at PAX East, right before everything went to shit.
Yeah, like a week before. Yeah.
And there was.
It was the car convention that started having people get sick.
But at PAX East, they had a Larian had a Baldur's Gate 3 booth. So like,
yeah,
they had been showing it off for quite some time.
Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's. I mean, Inquisition is fine. I think it does some things better than two. It looks better than two significantly, but
I like the rifts. Close the rifts.
Yeah, like the rifts are neat. The open world stuff is it's neat, but it's also overwhelming. Like you step out into one of these areas and there's just like it feels like if Ubisoft like doubled up on everything. Like there are just icons all over the fucking place.
None of it's very interesting, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Oh, go here and oh, you picked up a quest, and the quest is really just to go to another part and press A. And
yeah, it's that's the thing with that game. It's just like none of it is like it just becomes so repetitive a while in like a bad way. I mean, I guess all games are repetitive, but it's just like, is that all there is here? Is this it?
Yeah, because it's just like explore this area, basically clear out the area so that you're strong enough to move on in the story. And some of the story stuff is neat. Like there was, I think I hit maybe the halfway point of the game. Or you know, there's this base that you have. It's called Haven early on. And there's a moment in there where you get attacked by the you've closed the rift that's been the big thing you're trying to do the whole time, the breach. And then when you do that, you get attacked by this guy called the Elder One or something. And he like fucks you up and basically destroys your base. And now you have to have a new base. So like that whole sequence is pretty neat. And the story is picked up a little bit from there. But once you get through that story bit, though, it's, hey, now there's like five more locations you can go walk around and press A in. You can close these rifts, though. That like the rift stuff is neat. And there are a couple quests that are interesting, but you level up so slow. The combat isn't like super interesting. Fine, it's just not like super engaging. I am more interested to hear about Tony with Veilguard, since you said it was a little more action oriented.
Yeah, I think that's the big problem with Inquisition is it doesn't know whether it wants to be a CRPG or action game. It ends up in this weird like nether region between the two of them.
Yeah, so like I put up like a weird, not weird, just like a small little like review blurb. It's like when I finished Dragon Age 2, and I just don't really get why people like this one. It's fine. It's just like people love Dragon Age 2, and somebody that used to blog with us, Boots, he responded to me. He's like, when I press A, the sword swings, and that's kind of the problem with. Inquisition is like you hold down the trigger to attack, but it's not like you're not controlling.
Not ready yet.
Yeah, it's just like, all right, that's you. I want you to attack, so now you're just gonna like, you know, just attack over and over again as long as I'm holding that down. It's not direct action. It's really? Kind of like it's doesn't seem that way, at least. Like you have to do your powers and stuff. And they are direct, but you also have to wait for them to reload. So the actual swinging of the sword or pulling of the arrows, I'm playing as a rogue that shoots arrows, not direct. The magic isn't direct. Like you're kind of waiting for the charge to build back up.
It's like kind of like you said, it's like kind of straddling between two different.
You can like I keep accidentally doing this where I press the select button and it like pulls everything up to like a CRPG view.
I think you can play it that way if you want to.
It's not good, but you can.
No, it looks awful.
That's a priority, like yeah.
But you can like it does do that, and I keep accidentally doing it, and I have to find my way out of it each time. But yeah, we'll see.
I'd be surprised if you didn't play through all this, but you did too, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's. I'm kind of interested to see where it goes.
Yeah.
But I am surprised. Like, I mean, I really love Mass Effect, like Star Wars, you know, Knights of the Old Republic. I like their older stuff. I am surprised that Dragon Age is, like, so beloved, like, because it's the gameplay is so weird and wonky in all of them.
Probably because people want to fuck the characters or something.
Everyone's like very horny for everyone's very horny for those characters. So
yeah, I think that's true of Mass Effect too. It's just like people really get into. Relationships that matters more to them.
I've that way with video games. It's just like okay, yeah. Whatever.
We talked about it last week. I finished Tetris Forever, the documentary piece. That was all very interesting. And I went through and I thought I was going to be stuck at like 14 or 15 achievements, but I kind of looked up how to do a T-spin triple. And it's stupid. Like you would never, there's no reason for you to ever set your board up this way. So T-spin triple is where you have to spin the T-piece and it'll clear three lines. The only way you can do that is if you fucked yourself over and you have to like maneuver the T-block.
Oh God. Yeah. How? Ooh.
Yeah. Like it does. So you have to like do a weird T-spin and it like kind of tricks the game into like, oh, it does it and it clears it all. But it's, if you've set up your board that way, you fucked up. you wouldn't logically ever build a board to do that. It doesn't make any sense. So, I did like look up how to do it and I was able to get the right pieces and now I have all the achievements in that game. So that's it for me. Tony, do you play any more Veilguard? Do you play any?
I did play a bit more Veilguard. I don't really have a whole lot else to say, but that game is pure action. Jeff was not on the show last week. Jeff, I think you would really like it. It reminds me more of Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance than it does like a Dragon Age game.
Wait, I was here. Wasn't I here?
Were you here?
Was I here?
You weren't here when I was talking about Dragon Age, were you?
I think so. Am I wrong? Was I not here last week?
No, wait. Earl wasn't here. You were here. Never. No, I'm just making sure.
We all returned last week.
Earl came last week, but he was late. Never mind. I take it all back. But
I was not late. I was on time for what I wanted to aim for.
What were you going to say, Tony?
No, I think it's much more action heavy. It reminds me a lot more of like Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance than it does like a CRPG.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I kind of just pictured like Mass Effect.
Yeah.
You know, but fantasy.
Yeah, but it's even more directed than Mass Effect. Like everything I've played so far is very linear. There's not a whole lot of options. So like there are points at which you can choose what to do first. And there are like those Mass Effect-esque decision moments where you have to choose between one thing or another thing. I'm not quite sure how those affect the story yet, but it definitely is changing what happens. I don't know. I've enjoyed everything I've played so far. I kind of got distracted from it though, because like I was trying to get achievements for like gamer score. not for gamer score, for the for points, for Microsoft Rewards points. Because like you need, it's what is it, 30, I think it's 30 daily achievements to get that 1,000 point reward. Might be more than that, might be like 36. Which you can get one daily just for playing a Game Pass game that day. But to get to 36, you have to like have some days of two. And the only way you can get two is by getting an achievement in a Game Pass game. So I was like, what Game Pass game do I want to play that has achievements? So I got myself back into War Tales.
Okay.
Which I played about, I mean, I want to say like a year and a half ago on Steam. But it relaunched on Game Pass. So I've been playing through that Mercenary. Then you have your company, you recruit your people, you go out, you complete missions for money. It's still quite enjoyable. So, but it's also like the most addicting type of game for me. I find that those mercenary sims, I can just sit down and play for ages. you really get into like the this one is fun because it has like relationships between your characters that occur dynamically. So like they can fall in love with each other. Like you can like assign the people in your group to like positions. So like in a camp, you could like stick them all around in the same tent during the same campfire, and they'll have relationships. Sometimes they'll hate each other. Like if they accidentally hit one another in combat, so like you shoot an arrow and instead of hitting the target, it hits one of your own guys, and that guy will hate the archer.
That is funny.
They'll get mad, and it'll give them traits like sadistic, and that kind of thing, where they tend to get like angrier in battle, or their like stats will be worse when they're around this other character. I haven't really seen anything like that in this sort of game where the characters like have that sort of thing. They'll have characters that they like are best friends with, or like they fall in love with, and like it can help you to have those two characters like be close to one another in a fight. It could also really hurt you if one of them dies, because then the other one will get depressed and sad, and they might either like it'll ruin their stats, or like they'll leave the company. They'll be like, I can't do this anymore.
No, my best friend has died. I need to leave.
Yeah. One of the funny things that they added to the game since the last time I played it, when one of your characters dies, you get the body and you have to decide what to do with it.
Oh,
So you can like bury it and like write a tombstone. So like there was one guy who died, and I just wrote, all I wrote on his tombstone was, he was a bad swordsman. Like he got his first battle, he died. Oh, that's all you get.
Such a heartwarming message.
Yes.
You weren't very good at this.
And the funny part is, like, when you bury them, like, the tombstone appears on the game map, and you can, like, walk past it and see it and read it. Like, so I'm repeatedly going past this poor swordsman who's been buried in this one spot, which just happens to be a high traffic road for me.
And just saying get good over and over again.
Right? Except he can't because he's dead, so.
There's that bad swordsman again.
That's right.
How's it for achievements? Are you accomplishing the achievements you did from there?
Yeah, no, I've been getting them. It's not a super good game for getting gamer score. There's lots of like 5-point achievements that take like an hour or two. But like I start playing this game and time kind of just goes. So it doesn't really matter.
Nice. I heard you've been playing Balatro.
I've also been playing a lot of Balatro. But Balatro is one of those games, like I have it on my phone. So like it doesn't really take up my it plays super well on the iPhone, by the way. It's probably the best way of playing it. Yeah. If you have Apple Arcade, it's on Apple Arcade. So
yeah, I was trying to, now that I know it's on phone and everything, I was trying to tell one of my friends at work who, you know, likes poker, I'm assuming. Like,
yeah.
Hey, I'm going to write down this word for you. It's going to change your life. I just wrote down Balatro on a piece of paper for him. And he, you like poker, check it out.
That game is just, it's a lot. I have 142 of the 150 jokers unlocked.
Wow, Jesus.
Tony's just destroying that game.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are some, like, if you are good at poker, like, you'll be able to make good mathematical decisions that'll let you, like, be super risky through, like, the first couple of boss blinds. There's been a couple times I've had runs where I've just skipped every single small blind and big blind, like only faced off against the boss blinds.
Yeah. What is the disadvantage of skipping? Because I never skip.
So when you skip, you get a reward for skipping. So you don't end up making like whatever it is in terms of money, you could get like an arcane pack. Or like
sometimes it's like a get like a the polychrome Joker.
All you're missing is the money.
That's it. Like,
I mean, some of them will get you money too, though. Like, there's some skips will give you like $1 for every discard you've had during your run, or like $25 if you beat the boss blind. So sometimes it's to your advantage to skip, especially if you're playing on like the higher difficulties where like the small blind doesn't give you any money. At that point, you're almost always skipping the small blind because it's just better to take whatever the reward is, because it's always going to be more valuable than like the $3 you make from having
So hands left over. I just bought the game on Xbox, and I only did one run, but I won. I won the run, and I did so by... It started this way by like accident, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to ride this strategy out. Just two pairs. Level up the two pairs. Get the multiplayer, you know, the Joker, like, multiplayer for the two pairs. And I, like, rode that all the way through the whole fucking run, and it worked. Like, I couldn't, like, I was like, Jesus Christ. In fact, like, there were points, one point I accidentally took a full house I got, and I was like, wait, that was way less money than I would, or like way less points than I would have got if I, but so it got sketchy here and there. And so like right before the final boss, I did a skip. Cause I was like, dude, I don't want to fuck this up. I was like, I don't see any downside to this. Just let me skip it. And I went to the final boss and beat him. And you know what though, that method was really good for getting past the one boss where it's like all cards face down. Cause it's like, all right, I can see everything is a high card here. I'm going to have, I probably have a two pair in here. Just fucking boop, 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 boop.
Sort by rank or whatever. I know these five cards are close.
I haven't played that game since I, you know, beat my first run fucking, I don't know when it came out. I think I'm back into it though. The game is fucking awesome.
It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, Tony, you got a Joker this week that
turns off the boss blind.
Yeah, that one seems very useful. Like, I would love to have that one.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. I think I got a few Jokers for beating my first run. I think one of them was like, just skip to the final boss Joker. I was like, what? Is that a thing?
It goes all the way to the final blind?
I think there's
a few of them that will make you skip like the small blind, big blind. Or like make it to your advantage to do so.
Interesting.
But like there are also like Jokers that eat other Jokers, and like I had a run last night where I had two Jokers, one which copied the Joker on the far left, and the other one copied the Joker to its right.
Does that mean that you put it there so it just copied the same Joker twice?
Although I had two separate ones, but they were both like multiplier Jokers. Yeah. So like it was like times three.
That was the other interesting thing about like the run I had last night that I somehow got through. I didn't have any times multipliers. It was all just plus multipliers.
Oh, interesting. I always prefer the times ones.
Well, obviously,
It depends on which deck you use though, because there's the one deck where it takes the chips and it takes the multiplier, and it equalizes them and then multiplies. So like for that one, it's actually better to have a high chip count.
Interesting. You know, I played that game a ton before realizing you could even arrange the Jokers up top and that it mattered. Like my friend came over and he was showing me how he plays it. I was like, wait, you can move those? Wait, that matters? That's like mathematically doing something? Holy shit. So
yeah, there's a whole standard order of operations.
Yeah. Like, so like I'm better equipped this time. And then like again, once I won my first run when I originally played the game back, you know, early in the year, I was like, I moved on to whatever new game's coming out. But it's like it sounds like there's so much more to this game. than just that. It'd be like you win your first Vampire Survivors run and oh, I beat the game. It's like, no, there's
yeah,
plenty to do.
Yeah, now yeah. I've just been trying to unlock all the jokers I don't have. Like, I got one the other day for having $400 or more. So, like, I spent the whole run, like, optimizing my money earning power. but, like, during that run, I managed to get, there's a joker that gives you, I think it's 8 chips for every dollar you have. Like, the bull joker. So, the more money I had, the more, it's just,
yeah, like that just increases your chip count as you increase your dollar count. Yeah. So.
There's another one that gives you more chips for every card in your deck. I don't know. Yeah, the stone joker that gives you like 50, it's worth 50 chips for every stone card in your deck. And then in that same run, I got the one that adds a stone card to your deck every time you select a blind. So by the end, it was adding like 1200 chips every hand.
I'm gonna have to get into it deeper, but I'm happy that you finally checked it out, because I remember thinking like, man, Tony would fucking love this game. We were talking about it all fucking year, like, dude, you gotta check it out. You're like, do I need to check this out? Yes, you need to check it out.
I mean, there are also days where I'm like, I need to delete this from my phone because it's like sucking up time that I should useful things.
That's why I didn't put it on my phone.
Yeah.
Her old being unemployed now.
Yes, I would probably be better off. And there'll be a point at which I do delete it, because at this point I'm just like unlocking random jokers. Like, there's just a few left that you have to do absurd things to get. Like, play a hand that consists of like 7 or 5 different sevens of clubs, or discard a hand that is all jacks. I got a joker the other day for discarding a royal flush.
Yeah, like that seems like some of it's just like, do these crazy things, and like,
yeah, and that's where nuts. I'm at with the game. It's just I'm doing like insane stuff just to unlock jokers at this point.
And I don't know if we talked about it, because I have the guy, because it's one dude who made it, who's just like, you know, he's just, he'll talk about stuff. And he was like, I think he was in a pitch meeting, and he told them there'd be like 150 jokers or something. He just pulled the number out of his ass, and he's like, I guess that's the number I'm making. So he's like, there's some in there that are just there because I had to hit the number.
Yeah, some are pretty useless. You're just like, why does this exist?
Man, it's so impressive that someone, like one guy made this, and it feels like a game that should have always existed. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, how did no one think of this before now? Like, this could have worked on the Super Nintendo. Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe you couldn't do the computing with it. Like, because there's a lot going on. But
there is, but it's not like insane computing. It's not like doing like higher math. Although I will say, when you get to like the super, super high level blinds, like if you go into endless mode, at some point, it can't show
the numbers.
So it starts, if you ever see on your calculator, the E thing that represents 10 to the E power.
Yeah.
It starts doing that.
That's awesome.
Great.
So cool.
You play anything else, Tony?
No, just those things.
All right. Well, speaking of Balatro, it was nominated for a few things at the Game Awards.
I seemed upset.
Yeah, people, there are some people.
What is this, a con game?
Yeah, it's just, one, it's like, where have people been, like, in the circle? Because, like, it has been talked about, not just by us. Like, there was, when it came out, it was, like, for a good 2-3 weeks, where that was kind of all anybody in video game industry was talking about.
I think there's a lot of people that, like, don't know how to play poker. So, like, they're just like, why would I even check this out? You know?
Yeah.
I don't think you necessarily have to know poker. You have to know, like, hands.
No, you have, but, like, you have to know, like, yeah, if you don't know the hands, and a lot of people...
You could figure that out, though. Yeah. You know, with a two-pair, that's pretty... That's, like, in the fucking... Like, That's a self-explanatory one. You might have to look up what is a full house, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what's a straight, what's a flush? Like that, yeah. That stuff might be a little more confusing.
But it's like, people. Those concepts are not hard to figure out.
No.
You can look up, you probably look up a picture of what everything is.
And like I said, I still hold, I mean, I know poker hand, but I also still hold that, like, based off of the deck you're building, sometimes it makes sense. Like, if you just know, like, oh, two numbers of the same kind will do me well, you can build that and throw you well around pairs.
I won with two pairs. That's how I played my entire run, and it fucking worked. I was like, holy shit.
I've done high card runs before.
Yeah, oh my god.
You have to get the splash joker, the one that lets all five cards play, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
No matter
what you play. There you go. Yeah.
It's the only way it works.
And then you upgrade your high card.
Every time you get plenty of the blue seals keep giving you the thing. That's over a
great idea.
Yeah.
I've done straights. I've done flushes. I've done pairs. I've done two pairs. I don't
straights
think
ever, are great if you get that. There's the
that one where you can do it with four cards.
Yeah, you get, and if you could get that one and combine it with the one that lets you do the one gappers,
which I still think is dumb. I mean, not dumb, but it's like, yeah, my straight is 2, 5, it was 2, 4, 6, and 8. Like, yeah, that counts.
Yeah, at that point, it gets hard to, like, is that a straight? I can't tell. Like, your brain starts like doing weird calculations to figure out if you actually have a straight.
No.
Did he go bye bye?
What happened?
You cut out for a second.
Oh, I stopped talking.
Oh, it sounded like you were mid sentence.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, the Game Awards came out. Let's. I don't want to go over all of these. There's way too many nominations, and they're gonna show like three of them on TV anyway. Let's see here. Best multiplayer game: Black Ops 6, Helldivers 2, Super Mario Party Jamboree, Tekken 8, and Space Marine 2. Doesn't seem Tekken like a bad 8? Bad list, I guess.
Why is Tekken on that list? I don't understand. Is it a multiplayer game?
It's a fighting game. You play against somebody else. It's not a multiplayer game, but I guess
a game that only two people can play isn't like I just don't think
it's multiple players.
sure.
Not how what I would normally I would think, you know, that should be under best fighting game, and it is. I guess they didn't have another entry there. I don't know. It's not a bad list to me. I mean, I think Helldivers 2 is the one that comes out of there, but
pretty good.
Who knows how voting goes here? Here's one for you, Tony. Best sim strategy game: Frostpunk 2, Age of Mythology Retold, Kanutsi Gami, Path of the Goddess, Manor Lords, and Unicorn Overlord.
I mean, that list is okay. I will say there were a lot of strategy games that came out this year. Most of them were not great, and they seem to have picked the better ones.
Okay.
So,
I mean, you did seem to like Frostpunk 2 and Age of Mythology. So
yeah, no, those are they're certainly in my top 10. So.
Did you play any Manor Lords? That was an early access
did.
Game, right?
So yes, and I had some issues with the early access, and it's still I have a hard time considering it a complete game, so I haven't really gotten back to it. When it comes out of early access, I think I'll probably give it a bit more.
Okay. Earl, Jeff, best family game here: Princess Peach Showtime, Astrobot, Super Mario Party Jamboree, Echoes of Wisdom, and the Plucky Squire.
Well, it's definitely not the Plucky Squire. I mean, it's Astrobot. I mean, without even playing it. I mean, it's one of those things that is just
family. I don't know.
Well, I mean, this is just the key. It's one of those things where, like, if a game's nominated for your game of the year, it's really odd for it to then use in other categories for still being a game.
You would think. Weird category. Like, just based on the name of the category, I'd say, like, Mario always, Party.
It's always kind of been the honorary, like, we've got to remember Nintendo's part of the industry when they don't drop a Zelda game. It's like, yeah, it's usually, I think Ashley was Wonder and Kirby.
And yet, they did not nominate the Zelda game for Game of the Year, which is, like, I think it's a huge omission.
I don't know if
don't think that's a Game of the Year contender?
I do, but it's one of those things where, like, looking at the list that they had, there's only one that I would remove, and that's for different reasons, and we'll get to that in a second.
Best RPG, Dragon's Dogma 2, Shadow of the Erdtree, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, and Metaphor ReFantazio. That's a decent RPG list, I think.
I guess Dragon Age came out too late.
Yeah, I don't know what their cutoff was. Yeah, but yeah, it must have been like right there.
Do you think that's what it was, or they just...
There's always like some game that obviously gets fucked and ends up on next year's list. You're like, why is this here?
Yeah,
it's
too late. Yeah, that happened with Jedi Survivor last year, I think.
There's always confusion like that with the Emmys, the TV award show. Because it's like, I remember, it's like not last year, maybe the year before, when Better Call Saul ended, everyone was like, how the fuck did this not win anything? And it was like, it was for the first half of the season, which had aired like, you know, like a year prior, you know what I mean? Like, it's, although, in my opinion, should have won anyways, but like, it's just, that shit is always like weird with the awards, like the cutoffs.
Let's see. Best independent game, Animal Well, which Jeff, you played.
Mm-hmm.
Balatro, which we have spent a good amount of this show talking about again.
Wait, what is Laura, that again?
Balatro. It's a card game. Lorelei and the Laser Eyes, Neva, and UFO 50, which is UFO 50 is that
it's like that different, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a fake console compilation of a system called the UFO, and they like created like a bunch of NES games for it. Like, kind of a neat idea. I don't know anything about Lorelei and the Laser Eyes. I think Neva just came out, so I'm not too sure about that. Let's see. Jump to the big one here, the one that got everybody up in arms. Game of the Year, Astrobot, Balatro, as Jeff already mentioned, people are angry about. Black Myth Wukong, Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and Metaphor ReFantazio.
There's one of these you're against, Earl?
Elden Ring.
Because it's an expansion and not an actual game?
Yes, exactly. I mean,
I'm not against it. I'm fine with it.
Well, you would be.
No, I actually, personally, my reason is I don't think it's good enough. Like, I think
it's... You would drop it off, too?
I think it is substantial enough to be a Game of the Year award. Do I think it is as good as Elden Ring? No, I do not. And, you know, so therefore, like, what's, you know.
I don't have any problem with it being there.
It's like a full game. It's almost like a full game. Like,
my complaint against it, though, is that to access it, like, you have to jump through a flaming hoop to do it.
You have to beat most of the base game. But like, right. Hold on. It's going to be on my top 10 list. So as a game, so, but you like, you have absolutely no business fucking around in it unless you've in the base game to get to it. You know what I mean? Like, there's no.
Can you say this without ever playing Elden Ring?
No.
No, you can't. You
that it should not be up for its own Game of the Year nominee.
Yeah.
Like I have no problem with it.
At the end of the day, I don't.
It's gonna be hard for me to fill up my top 10 this year, so I need slots to fill in. It's gonna be in there.
For your personal top 10, you could put anything on there, like
right, like because it's your top 10. I think for
some people, this will be the Game of the Year. To me, they like turned the dial up a little too much. For my take.
Okay, so I'm excluding this. Like, it's not because the thing is, it's not Elden Ring. I have no qualms with. It's more like it's the precedent it sets then, where it's like,
I think DLCs should be eligible.
I think we have a category like this, or maybe we don't. I do think you should respect and acknowledge that stuff. Like having games that continuously get support should be a thing. I just don't think you should nominate them for Game of the Year ever. Because then I think the Game Awards used to have this like continuing game or something like that. Like
they have expansion. They have best continuing
support.
Yeah, I thought they had that. Doesn't look like they do.
There's something like that. No, there definitely is.
Best community support.
Maybe they dropped it this year because they wanted to make sure Elden Ring got a Game of the Year nod.
Best ongoing game.
Yes.
And that's Destiny 2, Diablo 4, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and Helldivers 2.
Yes. Well, I don't...
I don't know if Helldivers 2 should be on there.
Yeah, I don't know why Helldivers 2 is on there. Like, I don't... It's essentially saying that like this is a game as service award, but like Helldivers 2 came out this year.
Right.
Not right, but it came out early in the year and like the way that they've done
I get it, but I feel like ongoing means like a game that came out a while ago that they're still supporting, not a game that came out this year that got content. And I'm sure it will continue to get it, but I think next year would be a better case for it. But yes, I think the case in point, again, a lot of those are games of services, which makes sense. But I think that's where you saw it in like an Elden Ring or, you know, like any big meaty DLC and expansion, because that is it's something different. If it's like Miles Morales was not an expansion, but I mean, it's essentially kind of like a fancy DLC for Spider-Man. But that was a standalone game. You could play it on its own. It was independent. But if you get something that's like a DLC, I mean, just because it's on sale, Xenoblade 2, The Golden Country or whatever that was called, that was part of the game. I would nominate, that wasn't this year, but I would nominate that for, you know, continuing game. I would not nominate that for Game of the Year, even though I had a ton of fun with it.
So our friend Brian, who left Twitter long ago, but he's on Threads, and he responded to me on this. Like he has no problem with it. He compared it to Miles. Actually, he said there's no difference between Shadow of the Erdtree and Miles Morales. And my response back to him was like, you know, the argument against that though is like you didn't need Spider-Man to play Miles, which you just said, Earl, and you didn't need to like beat Molten Man to access the Miles Morales content. You'd have to like play Spider-Man, beat like some weird boss somewhere in the game so you could access the Miles content.
Even the core boss line, right? You had to beat other stuff, right?
Yeah, it was an optional boss. so
the optional boss is pretty hard unless you have like a certain build. But I don't know.
I don't care. Like I'm not gonna watch.
I think it's
anyway.
Funny though for people that would just buy it and think they can just access it.
Yeah.
Which I mean, people are gonna do if you selected this game of the year. Like you're gonna trick consumers with this.
Like wait, how do I get this?
They're gonna. Like, and I hope most of these fucking storefronts have it on there, like, where they're like, oh, Shadow of the Erdtree 1, and, like, you run to your Xbox, and you type in Shadow of the Erdtree. I hope that it, like, indicates that you need the base game.
Like, well, it's not even that you need the base game. I'm sure a lot of people that buy that realize that. But they don't realize is that you can't just select Shadow of the Erdtree from the main menu. You know what I mean? Yes. Like,
absolutely. There are going to be people that are like, oh, well, I didn't play Elden Ring, but I'll play Shadow of the Erdtree because that's game of the year, right? I really hope that it's not a... It is listed as you need the base game because some people are going to be angry. They're going to be angry anyway once they get it. They're not going to be able to play it. But, yeah, to be fair, I kind of want Shadow of the Erdtree to win just to see the social media meltdown that'll happen from some of these people.
I got to be honest.
Well, look at the people who are voting for it. Like, it's game journalists who adore this sort of thing. Like, it could win.
There's a possibility.
I don't think it's going to win. And I say this somewhere. I love Elden Ring. It's like my favorite game, but it's not going to win. I just don't think that this was good enough. Like it's too hard, and the world is like too hard to navigate. It's just like Elden Ring hard mode, and I just that is for some people for sure, but. It's not setting a new precedent like Elden Ring did. So I don't think it's going to win a game of the year.
So yeah, I'm looking at this. I think Final Fantasy and Metaphor, like, you know, they cross each other. Like they're going to pull votes away from each other. I don't think Black Myth Wukong, from everything I've heard, belongs up there. Not with these other titles.
Like, is this what in the RPG category?
Isn't this game of the year? Like,
wait,
Black Myth Wukong is nominated for Game of the Year.
Final Fantasy is too. Wait, yeah. What was the other game? I didn't realize that.
Metaphor, ReFantazio, and Final Fantasy.
I know Metaphor 7. Was.
Yeah, I mean, and
Final Fantasy VII's a Game of the Year fucking nominee.
It is one of the highest rated games of the year. Like, it scored like where were we at? 93.
I can tell you what I think is going.
Astrobot, right?
I think Balatro's gonna win.
I would be super happy with Balatro. I do wonder if people are like, it's a card game. Like,
no, I
seeing
think it's
some
gonna,
of that from
no,
from
people? I think it's gonna. I think it's just, I just looking at the slate. I mean, I'm like, I don't know,
yeah.
Balatro, man. It seems like that was the new game. That was the new thing.
I'm kind of hoping for that because I think it is the best game on that list.
I think it's like you underestimate it at your peril. I think like I don't know like it's.
So is game of the year like? Is there a fan vote? Like, can fans vote on this as well? Like, do they count?
I think they've done that in the past, right? Or no?
I don't know. I know they have the most anticipated. But yeah, they've usually done like a fan voted like it doesn't do anything. It's not like it gets, but I think they've done it before. I don't know what they're doing this year.
It is there.
You see the same nominees?
Yep, all the same nominees. You can vote on all 29 categories. I don't know. Like I don't know if it actually counts for anything. I guess there's that. Game Awards, when are they? Do we know that?
I want to say December 12th or something like that.
Okay, that makes sense. It's normally on a Thursday.
It's like early December, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is the Game Awards. I don't think there was much other news. Let's jump into our Hall of Fame stuff, guys. If you'd like.
Woo-hoo!
We haven't done one this year, so we're going to do we're going to double up here. Where we're both going to induct a pair of games for 2024. Into the Perfectly Sane Hall of Fame. Jeff, I don't know if you ended up picking two.
I did.
But What is your first game?
I'm going to go back to the game that started it all. You said I could go back or as recently as 2009, you said, right?
Yes.
So I'm going back to the game that started it all, and that is Demon's Souls. Demon's Souls. Game does not quite hold up, in my opinion, nowadays, but without it, you know, it sparked off the whole Soulsborne bullshit. I know that they did it in the 90s or whatever the fuck that was kind of similar, but this was really it.
Kingsfield. Nobody played that other game.
Yeah, nobody played Kingsfield. And Demon's Souls is not terrible. It's just like they built on it so much since then. This is like the foundation for everything that was to come.
Demon's Souls was a level based, you know, as opposed to with Dark Souls, they kind of like did an open world type thing. And
I mean, there's a million little things, but yeah.
They just kept improving on it. But Demon's Souls is like the start of that kind of what has become that genre.
So many ideas that are in it as part of what to find. So yeah, absolutely. I don't think I'm gonna push back. We're good, right?
No, that's fine.
I hate it.
Tony and I are not fans, but it is obviously quite.
I guess
disturbing.
I should mention too. I did play it in 2008 when it came out. Like a lot of people, you know, were not aware of this series till like years later, and it's actually all due to like Sean. Like Sean was like pushing that game, like.
Pushed that a hell of a lot.
Like he burned out on that genre by the time I was like, this is amazing. This is the best thing ever. But
he's like, I'm sick of it now.
Yeah. But it's still okay. Like I played PlayStation 5. I was like, that's okay. It's like an interesting, it's interesting like to see like the seeds of an idea, but I think it definitely like earns its place in our Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Earl, what do you got for your first entry?
Do we want to go with the sincere? Well, both of them are sincere. Two very different pieces. I'll go with the first one. I don't know why. We had two. I was like, I want to do one that I want to do, and I'll get to the second one later on, reason for that as well. But I was like, you know, we don't have a ton of, like, mobile games on the system.
Sure.
And I think that's an avenue that is, you know, sometimes disregarded or not thought about in the same sense as consoles and PC gaming. And I was like, oh, we got Angry Bird. Because, like, you know, 2009 kind of birthed is like that smartphone gaming. Mm-hmm. But when I was thinking about it, only one game really came to mind that made sense for me to represent mobile gaming this time around. And I don't know how much it counts or how much it doesn't count, but it got me through so much in my early days. Snake?
Oh, yes.
I don't know. I mean, again, you have to have been of a certain age, which I think we all are. But for you, for younger people out there, Snake.
Never played it.
Really?
I know what it is, yeah.
Okay, so did you not have a Nokia phone in the 90s?
I think I had it, but I was just like, this is stupid. Like, even today, I still don't want to play games on my phone. Like, I downloaded Magic the Gathering on my phone, and I'm still like, will I ever play this? Probably not, you know.
I
hate it.
I think it's also a different beast being a city kid. I'm on the subway often doing nothing for 30 minutes, an hour at a time. So
when you look at Twitter and get depressed, I guess Twitter wasn't around at this point.
You had your brick phone that had like this gray screen.
Mm. Hey, Jeff, you have to think about this is the 90s. Like, the internet was not something that often. And also, like, you have to think, like, New York City.
Wasn't this on calculators, too? Like,
it was on everything.
Oh, yeah, it was.
It was on everything because it was so simple.
I played it on my TI-83. It happened.
Yeah. It was that and Tetris. Those are the two games you
got. Wasn't there a game like Mafia Wars or something, too? Like that?
That sounds like an early Facebook game, I remember.
No, I remember, like, It was like a text-based thing, like on the calculator, I want to say. I don't know, whatever. Anyways, go ahead.
But yes, it's a very simple game. I think you start off as like a dot or like two lines or something. You're just moving it across the screen, eating apples, and as you eat apples, it grows a pixel. And you basically just have to continue navigating this space without having your, you know, like colliding with your body or the perimeter of the. And you play it and just get, see how long you can make the snake and how far you can go without like running into your body. And again, it's a very simple game. It ran on a calculator. It ran on brick phones and stuff like that. But it was just such a fun, addicting game. And it is really, I think, one of those benchmarks. It's like one of those games that is synonymous to me in my head of late 90s, early 2000s, especially Nokia. I mean, those were of cell phones of those era. Those were the games you played. In some ways, it's like the Tetris of mobile gaming, and that if you had a phone back then, except for Jeff, apparently, you played this game.
Yes, I definitely put plenty of time into Snake. Yeah.
That's good. It's good. Good pick, Earl.
I'm going back even further.
Oh.
Back to 1981, little arcade game where you play as a little spaceship shooting like insect alien guys in Galaga.
Galaga.
It's so simple. Like, you know, they come down, kind of looks like a Space Invaders type thing. But it improves on Space Invaders in that it's not just like line moving down. Like the enemies will come down in patterns at you, and you have to snakes. Like move your
centipedes. I should say.
I mean, they're like buggy type things. Yeah. Sometimes flies, sometimes like butterfly. Like it's weird. They're weird, you know, like alien things.
It's funny though. As soon as you said it, I thought we don't have Space Invaders on this on our Hall of Fame, do we?
We do not.
Seems like an oversight, but I do prefer Galaga to it, obviously. Yeah,
I'm not a fan of Space Invaders. Like, I will play it. Like, if I'm, like, in an arcade and, like, hey, you have free reign to play everything, I would certainly play it. But if you were like, hey, you know, here's an arcade, you know, you have a quarter to play, and Miss Pac-Man is not available, I'm probably going to the Galaga machine. It's just a ton of fun. And I actually have the ability to play it on an arcade cabinet in my house now. So
cool.
Tony, what do you got?
All right, I'm going the opposite direction. I'm coming.
Oh, okay.
Assassin's Creed 2.
Mm.
Which, I mean, obviously not the first game of the Assassin's Creed.
Kind of.
But the first game that made it big and the first game that was like eminently playable, like the original was clearly flawed in a number of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Assassin's Creed 2 is a fantastic game in like every possible way. It like establishes all the tropes for the series that lasted so long. The interaction with the historical figures, like going to awesome places that you recognize. And I think that is an advantage it also had over that first game. Like, you go to Venice, you go to Florence. I didn't know any of the places from the original Assassin's Creed. Like, showing me... I know they're all historically connected, but it was cool to, like, see places that I actually knew and interact with Michelangelo and, you know, Leonardo da Vinci. Like, you meet those well-known characters, the Borgias. Like, and getting to do that was really cool, but also, like, the gameplay finally realized the first game very choppy, very weird in a lot of respects. This one, the combat was good. And it was actually, I think it was better than some of the later games in that Assassin's Creed arc, where mm-hmm. Ezio eventually becomes so powerful he can kill everyone in the room just like by falling against the wall. Like he's not quite that powerful yet. He probably shouldn't ever have gotten that powerful. But very, very entertaining in the combat realm. And of course, Ezio is a fantastic character, and being able to like follow his like origins and like see like his first assassination and then like see him develop as like an assassin was really, really cool. And of course, the world is awesome, filled with stuff. Really the game that established the Ubisoft model of the open world with borderline
It really is two and Brotherhood that kind of that is their model now. Like, because the original Assassin's Creed was not very different, but two and Brotherhood really modified it and made it what it is now.
Yeah. So I love that game. Holds a really dear spot in my heart. So Assassin's Creed 2.
Nice. Yeah. Jeff, back to you.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to where it all began. Again.
Again.
Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve played video games? What?
I'm going to go back to...
The Big Bang?
The first 3D game I ever played. I think it was the first 3D game I ever played. And that's Wolfenstein 3D.
Oh.
I did not play game. I still don't play games on PC, but this is one I did. It was an introduction to something new to me. I think for most people, this is probably their first FPS. And it's still kind of fun. Like, yeah, it obviously super dated and then surpassed like a year later by Doom. But there's something about Wolfenstein. We all want to kill Hitler, right?
Sure. I've killed Hitler in many games.
Yeah. Wolfenstein 3D, man.
It's a classic, and that Wolfenstein series has really like evolved since then. Like, there's some really good Wolfenstein games that have come out.
I do think
since 3D.
I think 3D is like, again, it's like, yeah, Doom better? Yes, but there's a certain atmosphere. Like, for a long time, I associated first person shooter games with World War II. It had to do with like Medal of Honor Frontline or whatever, like the ones that were like on the PS2 and stuff like that. That was kind of like the setting that most first person shooters were in. Actually, I almost picked a different first person shooter for this. One of my favorites, Perfect Dark. But I was like, you know, wait, let's dig a little deeper. Where did it all start for me? For me, it was Wolfenstein 3D.
Nice.
We have GoldenEye here, so.
Yeah, it's like, GoldenEye is, like, if you're going with that era, that's like the obvious pick, but like, I just think I prefer Perfect Dark so much more over GoldenEye. I know most people maybe not, I don't know, but.
I'm with you, I really like GoldenEye. Like,
it's just like, Perfect Dark was just like, but. That so much like it was like,
and it was original, right?
Yeah, like, it was original, and it was like a lot better in my opinion.
Like, GoldenEye was great for recreating those like moments from the movie, and you know, you got that like Bond feel to it. But you know, Perfect Dark was original. Like, it was, you know, it was, you know, maybe generic in its concept where it's like aliens and shit, but you know, you're playing this badass sexy spy woman. Anyway, not Wolfenstein 3D, so we'll come back to Perfect Dark at some point, I'm sure.
Remind me of that, so I remember.
Yeah.
you can make a note for yourself. I'm making a note for myself now too, because like we mentioned Bond, and I'm like, I do want to induct Everything or Nothing, but that is not today.
I am kind of surprised that we don't have GoldenEye on the list by now. I was like, okay,
no, we do.
Like, what? We do? We do?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. GoldenEye's already
on the list. I need a fucking alphabetical fucking list from A to fucking Z.
It's in a spreadsheet. I don't do spreadsheets. Did they not teach you how to use the spreadsheet at the post office?
I'm a working class dunce. I need it fucking A to B or A to Z fucking.
Oh my God.
GoldenEye was in our first year of doing this.
Well, good thing I didn't fucking name it.
Second. Oh, wait, it was all the way to 2019. Second.
See year doing this. You see the problem here? You see the problem? It needs to be A to Z. A to Z. I need to look at a list.
Here, Jeff, I will create a second sheet and you can alphabetize it.
Yes. What I would do to just fix the spreadsheet, which is I would put the year on top and the games underneath. I don't like the year being one column and the games being a second column, but that's just me. But while we're doing all of that, I think it's me
again. Nominate a game, Earl.
It is you, yeah.
So I don't think we're going to have time for the whole video game movie thing today. And this wasn't related, but I was in, like, I don't know, I get in some funky moods over the weekends when I'm trying to find something to watch. And I revisited Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time with Jake Gyllenhaal. It's a decent movie, but it reminded me of, like, how great the original game was. Well, The Sands of Times. I almost
nominated this.
Did you really?
Yes, I thought about it, yeah.
And it was just, it's like one of those games that I absolutely adored. And it's a shame that the franchise has never really been able to grab people's attention. I think it was a great kind of puzzle platformer action game. I like the ability to turn back time briefly was, it was, you know, it made the game a bit more forgiving. It made combat a bit more forgiving. The character was fun. The story was, you know, nice. It was just a really great evolution of that format from, like, I tried the Prince of Persia games on PC and I just could never get that far. I think it was always how he jumped and ended funny. But when The Sands of Times came out, I will say I didn't try it right away. I think it was, again, it's early days Ubisoft. Well, I always forget if it was given out for free or if you got into the game free with it, but it didn't do well. And they were like, here it is, like, whatever. But like, it was an absolutely delightful game of that. I guess cut in the middle ground between everything else today, that PlayStation 2, GameCube, Xbox era.
Wow, it was a huge game for me in that era. Like, it really was. Like,
yeah.
And it was like platforming that was kind of unlike stuff that I was used to. You know, it's very different. It's like a lot of like swinging on poles and thinking about where you're going. I don't know. It's just different. Like, it just felt, it feels different. It feels more, you know.
It's very good. It's that
running and across wall.
Yeah.
Balls,
the wall running.
That was new. Yeah, yeah, that was new. Yeah,
and again, because of the time mechanic, they were a lot of ways to just be forget. Like, you didn't have unlimited; it's not like you could just mess up constantly.
Yeah, but that was like such a neat effect at the time that you had never seen in a game. Yeah, like, it's just,
was it before or after? Well, I guess Max Payne wasn't reverse in time; it was slowing down time.
I know, this was like, you go, there's a rewind button.
Yeah,
which is like, it's not a thing that, like, I guess now you get it in like retro collections, like, very often, yeah, right? Like, yeah, but like,
but even then, that's different because,
yeah,
they're not mechanics. That's mostly I screwed up. Like, this was actually,
it's overlaid on top of, that's overlaid on top of the game. This was like, it was part of the game.
Yeah, it was part of the story, right? You do it, and like the prince would be like, that's not how it happened. Like,
yeah, movie. I mean, we will talk about the movie's fine. I will say, I give credit to the movie. The one thing revisiting the movie made me realize is I really dislike Uncharted, the movie, sorry, not the games, more. Because it's like, the movie actually works in the parkour, like him running up the walls and running on beams in action sequences. I'm like, oh, they actually tried to incorporate this stuff in Uncharted. It's like, no, we don't need to do that. We got Nathan Drake. He's like, you know, 20 years younger than you think, so he doesn't have his mustache, but Nathan Drake.
I've been bouncing around. I had one for here, and then I scrapped it, and then I was like, I was going to do something else, and then Jeff picked something, so I scrapped that.
Did I pick one of yours?
No, but I was going to do, so I originally I was going to do Final Fantasy VII. Just like I think it fits for this year. Yeah. Like, you know, yeah, sure. I think it fits regardless. But then I was like, you know what? I'll hold off on that, and maybe I'll do Doom. Jeff picked Wolfenstein 3D. And then Earl just said Uncharted, and Uncharted 2 came out in 2009.
God damn it. That would have been one of mine for the next time, but
we can hold it.
Go ahead.
All right. We'll
proceed.
Because I had three, so
trust me, I would not remember.
You're gonna end up taking mine.
Yeah. All right, so Uncharted 2, Among Thieves. I really like the original game, but I think Uncharted 2, and this let's borrow from Jeff here, going back to where it all began. this is where Sony kind of developed. This is the game.
This is what their game.
Yes, this is what all their games going forward.
For good or bad, but at the time it was like, holy
this
shit.
This is really cool, right? Like, wow. Uncharted 2 was fucking amazing.
That game, you can play it probably now, and it's still like, oh, wow, this is kind
of
cool.
Still really fun, like, similar to Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, like, cool platforming sections. You know, it had the adventure aspect. It suffers from the same thing all Naughty Dog games do with their combat, where it's like Naughty Dog doesn't know how to do a great combat encounter, so it's just like, hey, we're gonna bullet sponge some dudes at you now. Isn't that fun? No, but everything else about the game is awesome. So, Uncharted 2, Among Thieves.
I will just add, because I put a lot of time into it. The multiplayer is actually, I think, super underrated in that game as well.
It is fun. Yes.
Yeah.
I think the problem with Uncharted 2's multiplayer is that it was kind of like came out alongside Gears of War 2, I think.
There's a lot of other, like, it was the era of, like, everybody needs to do multiplayer.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, but, like, it was fun.
It was a good time.
I was going to say the problem with it is, like, I adore Uncharted. I love Uncharted 2. Uncharted's strongest suit is not the shooting.
No.
Make a multiplayer mode around it. It's like, it works because everybody else has the janky shooting, but, like, it was more like, oh, like, it's really fun to, like, do objectives and stuff like that and just see how much cover you can get. But yeah, the shooting is not the strongest aspect of the Uncharted franchise.
It's a good, fun multiplayer mode, though. Tony, what do you got?
All right, I'm going to go with a game that is ugly, blocky, but still played by millions of people to this day. Minecraft.
Is it that old already?
Minecraft launched publicly in May of 2009.
Wow.
You're so old.
Time is a bitch. Wow. Minecraft launched in 2009?
I guess so. It wasn't like beta, and it was around, it didn't officially completely launch until like late 2011. But like it was publicly available, and like it got big before then.
I would would have guessed 14. You know, that's crazy, dude.
I knew it was before. Oh man, that is insane. It's also kind of insane to think about. Like, we didn't talk about this.
It's still going.
Well, not even that it's still going, but like they're just making a movie out of it. What, 16 years later?
Y'all,
my kids both are obsessed with it, and like I wouldn't think anything that is that old, like that existed before they did.
It looked old when it came out.
Yeah, and it still looks old. Like they've definitely like refined it, so like it's sort of like when you look at what people think like 16-bit games look like now and what they actually looked like back then, like it's got that element going with it, but still kicking, still alive.
Yeah, can't argue with that pick. I don't. I've never gotten into it. I've played it multiple times. I cannot get into it, but it's huge. You know, still.
Itself is huge, but then like you see its influence in all of these like survival games that are out there.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like where you know you're crafting or
Don't Starve or whatever.
Yeah. Yep, all that stuff. Like, what was Valheim?
None
of these games I could get into for whatever reason. I just can't. I don't know. I don't get it. It seems like it would be my jam, but I can't.
I think it's so open, Jeff, and there's no
point to anything. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like the point is like, hey, do what you want, and it's like,
yeah, I don't
know, it's like me with Legos. Like, I don't want to play with Legos. I know most people love Legos, but
I think Minecraft is the same way. Where Legos is kind of twofold, because Legos is like get a bucket of Legos and do whatever, and out of it now is like it's a very specialized kit
or build this castle
step by step instructions on what to do with it.
Yeah.
It's like that's what Minecraft is. Like Minecraft is you can do whatever, but there's also things like you can go to the server with your friends and
it's just I hate building things brick by brick. Fucking pay me by the hour if you want me to do that. I don't know. Like
yeah, the stuff that some people are able to accomplish in Minecraft
though, it's amazing. Yeah, and it's you know there's no denying that like that game is like maybe one of the biggest game entry, you know. It's never been for me, but
my kids love watching like Minecraft YouTube videos of like people building like death machines powered by chickens, like crazy things that you'd never like. Why would you think of that? What is?
All right. Well, that is our eight. We have two slots open. Do we have a consensus? Is there something that we think should fill in the other two slots for us?
Donkey Kong.
Like the original
arcade Donkey Kong. Do we have that shit?
I don't think so. Well, we don't have any.
How the fuck do we not?
I do enjoy Donkey Kong.
It's like the best old arcade game, like in my opinion. Like,
I was gonna say like, what Donkey Kong though, because
it introduced platforming.
Kong, or you could go Donkey Kong Country.
Jeff is saying arcade.
I'm going Donkey Kong. Like Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong Country. Yeah, I can see that being there.
Yeah, didn't you folks also say you wanted Space Invader?
There you go. Boom.
Are you guys inducting Donkey Kong Country?
Well, I thought we were inducting Donkey Kong.
Okay, good. That's I'm good with that one. I might have to put up a fight if you guys were like Donkey Kong
Country. No, I think the original Donkey Kong is... I still remember I went to summer camp and I spent my whole week at summer camp playing that in the little arcade. And I was just like, that was the you know, there was other cabinets. All I focused on was Donkey Kong. Because guess what? It's like the best fucking, like that and like Burger Time are like the best, like of that type. Like Popeye's pretty good too. But
Popeye's a good game. I like Popeye.
Yeah. But, you know, Donkey Kong kind of like invented the platformer in a way. So,
Space Invaders as the other one. Is that what we're going with? We all good with that?
Or
we
I love shmups.
All right. Well, so there we go. Our 2024 Hall of Fame induction is complete, and the new entries are Demon Souls, Snake, Galaga, Assassin's Creed 2, Wolfenstein 3D, Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, Uncharted 2, Among Thieves, Minecraft, and Minecraft, Donkey Kong, and Space Invaders. So, it's a good list of games there.
I just love how little resistance there was to my picks at the end there. But when it comes to Game of the Year, it's a fucking knife fight every fucking time.
I don't.
That's because you pick such terrible games. I don't know why.
I mean, I don't want to put the horse before the cart, but I think this year won't be too much of a fight. But again, I could be wrong.
I don't think.
I mean, I think we all like.
There's like a coalescing. There's a coalescing of.
Like, I don't.
No, I'm not saying it's going to win, but I think there's a very good chance that a certain game is on all of our lists fairly high.
Yeah.
You must be joking.
Like, I can say right now, honestly, it's not number one for me, but it's a very firm number two. But there's like 6 months, there's 6 weeks left in a month and a year, I should say.
Sure.
There's probably 6 weeks left in a month as well. It's going to feel like it.
November's thrown by. Today's what, November 21st?
Yeah.
It's kind of thrown by. Thanksgiving in a week. Speaking of what, I assume we're not doing anything next week, or we're going to record Wednesday night, or...
Wednesday, if everybody's around, yeah.
Yeah, it works for me, I think. Man, every day feels like 6 weeks episode. To me. Oh, yeah, first time.
Game of the Year is coming, not until January. We want to play all the games that
I mean, we got a chance.
You never know. Indiana Jones could be game of the year. You never know.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. Like, I've pretty much played all the games this year that I was interested in. Yeah, there's Indiana Jones.
Okay. I want to play Indy. Like,
yeah, but like,
it's the last game.
Stuff that would factor in hugely, like in the top five, I feel like I've played and I have my opinion on. I'm totally fine with waiting until the January episode.
I think there's one or two like indie games that I'm still looking for on discount that people have talked about. I think we mentioned one with the game of Your Eyes and the Laser Eyes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And is it Animal Well?
Yeah, Jeff played Animal Well.
Yeah, you should play that.
Yeah, so like, there's a few. So, nothing's settled, but I think number one and two right now are very strong contenders.
Yeah.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we did not get to, again, we did not get to our...
This is going to become the, become the Matt Damon of the Perfectly Sane Show.
Best list of video game movies, but we will get there at some point. We'll be back next week for what we hope will be Black Friday episode for you guys. Hopefully I will have it published by then, so you can listen to it while you're online shopping, because who the fuck is going to stand in lines?
Please don't do this
anymore.
Crazy people.
Yeah.
It's kind of insane. I actually saw a commercial the other day where they advertised that Black Friday's not in stores anymore. Like, she's in her pajamas and her husband's like getting ready, and she's like, "What are you doing? I'm getting the doorbuster deals right now for my computer." I'm like, "Oh, this is where we are now."
I mean,
is it a doorbuster?
If you're again you're a lot of
the door.
It's also not Black Friday when it starts at the start of November. So.
Yeah, true.
Best Buy has been offering its doorbusters for weeks now.
Yeah.
I just always worry with that shit that's gonna go closer to Black Friday. You know what I mean? Like, there's trickery.
Yes, I'm hoping for some good deals, but maybe we'll take a look at them next week.
I think with those kind of sales, Jeff, the goal is to just buy it and then not look for it again. Because if you do that, you're not gonna kill yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, why is it $150 cheaper?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, we'll be back next week. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Jeff, say goodnight.
Bonsoir.